Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City Council to order at 6:01 on June the 17th. You have before you the agenda. I think there's probably no changes to this agenda since it's all about the budget, so we will simply move forward into the city manager.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, thank you for allowing me to present to you tonight. I also want to recognize, I think, all of the staff. So each department is represented, I think, in most instances, is the department director. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, so please stop me if you have questions. This is the presentation that you've seen. I hope to spend quite a bit of time on the questions that I have received. So, the budget was put together with these priorities in mind. They don't differ from the priorities that were established for fiscal year 19, so the budget year that we are in. This is, just gives you an overview of the organization structure and highlighting briefly proposing to move fleet operations to the assistant to the city manager, human resources director, as well as the print shop, I believe, has already been moved in that area. This gives you a sense of what your tax bill would look like. We won't set our tax rate until September-October time frame. We know that it will be the same as what it is for this year. We believe, however, that it will be lower than what it is for this year. But this just gives you an example of what the percentage of your tax rate bill goes towards city services. And this gives you an example of a market or a home that costs $200,000, the assessed valuation, and then the amount of your actual taxes for the city. I want to look at some of the major highlights for this fiscal year, 2020. It funds the in-house EMS services. We're recommending the addition of, or actually, this year it started with a partial year of the 12 firefighters that we brought on board in order to bring that service back in-house. Next year it identifies the full allocation. If you recall, however, we are supplemented by the SAFER grant. So there are some funding, federal fundings that will be used to augment those costs. The increase in contribution for the uniform pension, that's for public safety as well as even non-uniform. So we are accepting the recommendation from the committee over the pension for this year. If you recall, my intention is at a minimum to try and fund that at roughly 80%. And currently, based upon the performance, it actually has dropped below 80%. It's around 78, I think, for both funds. And so the amount of funding that's included in this fiscal year would be budgeting it at 100%, understanding that my intention is to look at it on a annual basis. Proposed to fund the internal management of the parking garage. If you recall, currently it is contracted out to St. Louis Parking, recommending to move that back in-house. Again, fleet operations, restructuring that, moving that up under the assistant to the city manager. Again, the same or reduced tax rate, and the fund balance for general fund far exceeds the minimum requirements that you've established in your financial policies. It funds the capital budget because we had the classification and compensation study that was conducted this fiscal year. I'm not recommending a cost of living allowance, although I do anticipate making that recommendation for next year to make sure that we're keeping current with the market. It restructures salary allocation and solid waste, the parking garage, as well as the golf course. One other one that I am aware of is in streets that we have restructured a bit. I believe it was the position that Earl currently has only deals with capital projects. Some of that position was being funded out of general fund, so we are proposing to move all of that to capital projects. And it funds returns to in-house pool management, or retains it. I think this fiscal year we're actually returning it to in-house management. So next fiscal year we're proposing to keep it in-house. Just doing a brief summary for total revenues for our governmental funds, a little over $32 million. Expenditures, about a little under $31 million. The ending fund balance for all funds, a little over $17 million. Again, that's the revenue sources for all funds, totals almost $41 million. This just gives you an exploding pie chart that gives you a graphic of the percentage breakdown for each revenue source. I would highlight the sales and use tax. That is a high percentage, so that is a critical revenue stream for us. For general fund revenues, at $25,714,696, again, it simply reflects the distribution, percentage distribution. Another exploding pie chart that shows the same. Here for general fund, it's a little over 25%, 26.7. And looking at the transfers, if you recall last year, there was quite a bit of transfers because we did not yet do the cost allocation for each of the funds. This year, we have made changes to that because we have done the cost allocation. So this year, primarily, these are loan repayments that are coming back for the public safety fund. The $1,264,700 is a culmination of the loan repayment to a general fund. It also covers a percentage of the capital costs for police, and it covers the increased costs for salaries based upon the class and comp study. If you recall, I'd indicated that we are recommending restructuring the fleet operations, proposing to simply allocate the funding necessary for operations and budgeting all of the vehicle purchases and equipment purchases out of the respective departments. So this is the amount that is necessary just to cover the operations cost. For general fund expenditures, $25,036,710. And that's just a percentage breakdown. If you're as consistent with prior years, police and fire, the allocation from general fund total to a little bit more than 50% of the general fund budget. There it indicates what the estimated revenues and estimated expenditures. The ending fund balance is increasing because we're not using all the funds that's coming into the general fund. And the ending fund balance is simply identified. Actually, it's from the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or the CAFR. The initial fund balance is identified as unassigned funding. And you can locate that in the most recent CAFR that you have. I want to highlight some of the departments. Up under the city manager's office, again, the restructuring of the fleet operations, proposing to move Roar's publication in-house up under communications, moving, restructuring the parking garage management up under economic development, funding various application software upgrades, so forth. Up under finance, very minimal impact to finance. For this fiscal year, we have proposed moving the print shop. Other than that, finance should be maintained at the current levels. Municipal court, maintaining that at the current service levels. You will see on your next council agenda, we're proposing to bring the prosecutor and making that an appointed position again. But that you will see that on Monday. The police department, we're recommending funding the gunshot detection software, vehicle replacement, mobile data terminals, and an additional license plate reader. For the fire department, again, we are proposing the payment necessary for the 12 firefighters that we're bringing on board to bring the EMS in-house, purchase of an ambulance, which you'll see as a part of the capital improvement program, and adding one part-time clerk. For public works, consistent with what we've done for the prior years, allocation of $700,000 for street improvements, $400,000 for sidewalks, and the sewer lateral program, we believe roughly $460,000 will be allocated, or proposing for allocation in repairs. This budget also recommends simply absorbing the increased costs for landfills as well as the increased costs for recycling. If you recall, China, as many of you know, have had a major impact on recycling, has driven up those costs because they have stopped accepting a lot of the recycled products. For planning, proposing to purchase 5 alternative fuel vehicles for code enforcement. This will enable us to outfit the vehicles, but also have our logos on the vehicles so that we have a greater presence in the respective neighborhoods. Up under park and recreation and forestry, it funds the in-house pool management. We'll need to evaluate the green fees. I've received a question about our golf course fund that I'll end up getting into a little bit more detail as far as why I think it's important to evaluate the green fees next year. Some of the other funds, public safety fund, it's just to look at the revenues and expenditures and what we are estimating for the ending fund balance. The same for the capital fund. I'll highlight a lot of that as a part of the CIP presentation. On the park and stormwater, all of these are having a fund balance, but that gives you an idea of what anticipated revenues and expenditures will be. The EDRST fund, I do want to highlight that we're doing this a little different in the sense that last year I actually proposed, although we had not identified any projects, expenditures. This year I'm simply recommending that we do the administrative expenditure, but augmenting or amending the budget once the council has made decisions regarding projects that will move forward. And this is the anticipated fund balance currently. There are a couple of items for discussion. The $5,500 for the ITN program, if you recall, that's for the seniors, provides them with, I believe, a voucher so that they can take a ride. I believe that I have shared with each of you a summary of how that program had operated, but you'll need to make a decision on whether you want to fund that. That's not currently included in the budget. The Second one is the Loop Special Business District. You should have in front of you a copy of the LSBD's budget. Not reflected in their budget is funding for the strategic plan. So there will need to be funding that will be allocated for that. I'll be recommending as a part of the amendments about $15,000 out of their fund balance that would go towards them being able to contract out for creating a strategic plan. A few things that are on the horizon. We're looking to finish up the rate study for solid waste this year. Again, I think we need to look at the rates for the golf course next fiscal year. Better together, not quite sure what's going to happen with that. Not sure that it is dead or what, how it will advance in the future. But that's something that I think we still need to be aware of. The industrial park expansion, I believe that offers us our greatest one opportunity for the diversifying our local economy and expanding our tax base, and certainly the Olive I-170 develop, which you just approved the redevelopment agreement. I'd like to stop and respond to some of the questions that I received, if that's okay. I received a question from Councilmember Smotherson, and it was in regards to a breakdown of the $6 million that was allocated for the police station. In front of you, you should have a sheet that shows that breakdown of what's gone to the City Hall Annex assessment, what was used for the land purchase as well. There was also a question regarding funding that was allocated in 2016. As I understand it, the council at that time authorized use of $1 million for as a part of the setup of the police modules. So that's what happened with those funds. Any questions on either one of those? If you do, I'm happy to respond to them. I'll keep pushing forward. There was also a question regarding the proposal to purchase the hybrid cars. I provided each of you with a brief report that showed the payment for those vehicles, the payoff period, and in fact, it compared that to how much we actually spend on mileage for the code enforcement officers that drive their cars. So the payoff period is about 6.5 years. We anticipate the vehicles, keeping them about 10 years with very minimal maintenance because of the hybrid nature. So if you have questions on that, happy to respond to that as well.
Quick question, and that is, what's the mileage that they actually drive per week right now? What are they doing now, and how many miles do they drive per week? Is it?
This report says they average about 500 miles a month at 55 cents per mile.
And that's which, their personal cars?
Yeah, which equates to around $1,300 to $1,400 a month per code enforcement officer. I also received questions. This is from Councilmember Hales. It asked about the 1,893% increase for the library fund for revenues. That's due to Prop L passage and the revenues that they'll be receiving there. And the 65% increase for expenditures is also due to Prop L. There's a question regarding the 82% increase in revenues for the parking garage. Because we're moving that recommending to move that operation in-house. The revenues that had previously been being received by St. Louis Parking Company will now be received by the City of University City. And so that increases those revenues, as well as we, if you recall recently, you approved an agreement with WashU for a consistent revenue stream of about $7,700 per month. So those things combined is what is increasing the revenue amount. The expenditure of 48% is being increased because now we're responsible for covering all of those costs ourselves, since we're recommending to bring that operation back in-house. Why is the revenue projections down 47% for the Loop Business District? We are proposing to, in the past, the Loop Business District had been budgeted as though they were receiving a grant from the EDRST as well as from Council. This year, we're taking that out, stripping it out, and if they receive the grant, then we will then ask the Mayor and Council to amend the budget to reflect the amount that they're receiving. What accounts for the 81% reduction in EDRST expenditures this year? Last year, I actually did not identify projects, simply identified the amount that would be allowed to go towards projects. This year, I'm recommending that we just take those things out of the fund balance for EDRST. You amend your budget once you have decided what projects you want to actually approve. On page 27, what accounts for the 284% increase in revenues under service charges? The service charges are increasing due to the ambulance. So those are the funds that we will receive as a result of providing ambulance service. Can you provide some background to the increase of expenditures under human resources? I'm proposing to move both fleet operations up under the assistant to over human resources as well as the print center. So that's why those expenses have increased. Can you touch on the 42% reduction in your office? We're restructuring the city manager's office, moving the communications out, not out of the office, but out of that account, and setting up their own account. Also, for economic development, last year we did a transfer of $133,000 from the EDRST fund over to general fund. This year I'm recommending that we just fund that expense directly out of EDRST, out of administration.
With regard to that, how is that going to be handled? Will that be a part of the 25% cost, or will that be independent of the 25%?
Mayor Pro Tem, that will be a part of the 25% administrative cost. We can't exceed that by state statute.
And that should cover both. The salaries and anything else.
That's correct. Anything that's related to the administration of it, yes.
Thank you.
A few other questions that I received deal with the golf course, and so I want to touch on that briefly. There was a question regarding the year ending of June 30th, 2019. Looking for what the results of the operation are, since we changed that to a enterprise fund. And that will be provided as a part of the comprehensive annual financial report. So you will get that roughly September of this year. So once they complete the audit, you're provided with a CAFR, and that will show the operations at that time. The year end on June the 30th, but we can actually keep our books open for, I think it's about 30 days. I'm looking for Keith here. 30 days, roughly. So, but you'll see that at that point. A second question dealt with, it's not clear about the revenues. If you look on page 31 of the budget, it will provide you with an overview of not just the, in that section, not just the golf course, but with all funds, all government funds. And so you'll be able to see what revenues are and what expenditures are. It should be on page 31. Did you look? Councilmember Clay? Did you? I just wanted to make sure that you're able to locate it. Okay. Let me share with you, I think, the what most of these questions are trying to discern, which is why are expenses increasing for the golf course when in the past there was a perception that there was a profit that was being generated from the golf course. Well, what has happened is that even in the past, the expenditures for the golf course were not totally in the golf course. They were being expended out of general fund. So all of the overhead for, you know, all of the hiring process, all of the legal, all of the processing of the paychecks, all of the creation or administration of the budget, all of those overhead costs were being funded out of general fund. We have done our cost allocation and moved those, most of them, back to the golf course fund at this point, or recommending at least that we do, which gives you a more true a sense of what the cost of that operation is. There is a question regarding the part-time and temp expense. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just had a question about the change in the golf course allocation. So in doing so, it would be likely safe to assume that we would see a potential reduction in the profitability because we're not comparing apples to apples year over year. Is that?
That's correct. I think it's safe to say that the golf course very likely has never been profitable. The example that I use is if I can go into business and all I have to do is, you know, sell bread and I get everything that all of the revenues for the sale of that bread, it comes back to me. Well, who am I using for my accounting? I don't have to pay for that. Someone else is paying for it, and that someone else was general fund. So who am I using to hire people to make my bread? I don't have to pay for that. Someone else is paying for it, and that someone else is general fund. So that's what's happened. It's never been profitable. I think it's just been supplemented by general fund in the past. Now it's a enterprise fund, so this gives you a more true reflection of what those actual costs are.
Okay, but it won't be an apples-to-apples comparison year over year.
No. If you look at how it is operating being proposed for 2020, it's different than how it has operated in the past, yes. Part-time temps, it moves from 67,000 to 183. We actually believe that number is going to be around 105,000. We've identified the additional funding for those overhead costs. We are not sure whether the golf course is going to be able to accommodate those overhead costs yet. So we're holding back on actually allocating them out. I'll come back to the mayor and council if I think that revenues, we're seeing revenues increase, and it will depend upon what we end up finding with the evaluation of green fees. because unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately for some people, we're in a marketplace. And so if you look at simply increasing green fees, that puts you outside of where the market is. Just the elasticity of that won't work for you. So that's why I say I think that you have to take a look and study it and determine whether it is even practical to increase fees.
So at some point, does that mean that we may be reevaluating whether this is actually ripe for being an enterprise fund, or maybe we were premature?
I think that's a good assessment. I'm not sure that it, from a practical sense, makes sense for it to be an enterprise fund. I think general fund, and for the probably short and long term, will end up supplementing the golf course. That's not unusual for municipal golf courses. So we simply separated it out because of the belief that there was profit being made and wanted to demonstrate that that's just not true.
Thank you.
There were a few other questions, and I will go through these pretty fast. One had to do with the pension fund and how are we cost allocating that. Again, I'm simply basing that on the recommendation made from the pension board and trying to keep the pension fund at a minimum of 80% funded for both funds. There was a question regarding the SAFER grant and what's the three-year breakdown. For this fiscal year, we're getting about $319,000 from that. For next fiscal year, 2020, we're estimating $1,276,263 of funding from the SAFER grant. And then the third year, 2021, it's a three-year grant, we're anticipating getting an additional $319,066.
Mr. Rose, real quickly, could you, when you talked about the pension fund, could you have someone get back to me on the professional services and the fees charged? I'm trying to get a breakdown on what we spent with the law firm, what we spent with the actuary, what we spent on money management, because I really don't know that we've got or that we really see on a regular basis what those costs are. And I know that we've got some changes that were in this budget that were much different. So if we could get an idea of the breakdown of those costs, it would be helpful if we could get them before next Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be
Thank
able
you.
To get that.
And you spoke about the SAFER grant. The timeline still for EMS is third, fourth quarter?
Yes, I'm saying November still. That is the safe bet. I know that the chief is looking to try and surpass that by making it August, but I'm looking at no later than November. Is that a good? Okay. He still believes August. We're going to shoot for that, but hold me to November. I believe those are all of the questions that I had received. If not, please, if you could just ask them now, I'm happy to respond to them.
So earlier, Mr. Rose, we spoke about the money that had at one point been set aside for the Stormwater Task Force, and I wasn't sure whether that had been carried forward or not.
We will have on Monday a resolution to you. I believe that's up under C9 Public Works. And so that carry forward revenue should include those monies that the Stormwater Task Force were allocated. So I'll make sure that that is included.
Okay. And so then just I should just note that what I gave everyone earlier was a description of what is needed by this task force in terms of IT services to complete their early warning model system. This does not include any recommendations for additional collection of rainwater or anything like that. They're using MSD collection sites right now. So,
one of the things I'd asked John to look into, there was some, and may not be necessary for the Stormwater Task Force, but there was some interest in amending the budget. So, John, could you highlight just briefly what that process would be if council members wanted to add to the budget?
Essentially, the charter provides for the city manager to submit the budget, which has already been done, and then the council votes on that. And there is a bear with me here. There's a public hearing, and I'm looking at Charter Section 35. It states, after the conclusion of that public hearing, the council may insert new items or may increase or decrease the items of the budget except for specified fixed expenditures. And so that's, it's typically done by motion, and then the council would vote on it. And if the council votes to amend the budget, then it would be amended.
So just because I'm a little bit concerned right here, so if that money comes forward, would that be something, then an amendment would not have to be made with regard to adding?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, that's correct. An amendment would not be needed in that case.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, on the short handout you gave us on page 24 in the Republic of Works, I know I've asked about this before, and I just want a clarification. It says you're allocating $700,000 for street improvements and $400,000 for sidewalk and curb improvements. Are we staying ahead of the curb, no pun intended? Are we staying ahead of getting our streets repaired with these amounts? My understanding was that we may not have allocated the necessary funds in maybe the last dozen years, but does this keep us abreast of repairs so that we're getting ahead of them, or are we just barely moving along to repair our streets?
I'd answer that in two ways. One is, I believe that the allocation that is being provided is consistent with what our capabilities are for staff-wise as it relates to the amount of money they're able to keep up with the spending and actually do a very good job with the oversight of that. I believe that we will need to increase that spending going forward, but that will also require us to add additional staff. And that's why I'm a little hesitant at this point. We need to drill down. As you know, we are funding the final payments for our prior capital projects. So that last debt service payment is proposed for fiscal year 2020. So that's going to open up some capacity that will enable us to start looking at what other streets can we go ahead and recommend to you to fund through some sort of financing project. So we'll be able to take on some debt. But as a part of that, I'll also be coming back to you with this is the number of staff that we need in order to do a good job with oversight of those projects. Any other questions?
I may have asked this the last time. I know you said that we were planning for a 20% increase in workers' compensation, and was there one particular area where we were rated higher than others, or what caused? Because most workers' comp right now is kind of evening out. So I'm trying to figure out. I think I've asked this before, but I don't remember the answer.
I'm looking at Yolanda here. I know that our experience rating was higher than what was in what would be considered normal because we didn't have a safety program. Now we do have a safety program, so we're watching all of those. Anytime you have an accident, it goes through a process for a review.
Right.
But what did ours actually come in at? I'm sorry, you may want to come to the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, we haven't actually received the actual that was an estimate that was given. We haven't received the actual number yet. We usually don't get the actual number until the budget is approved, unfortunately. But they based it on the rates statewide have gone up. And so with our experience, coupled with the rates for each classification, it went up. And and I'm not sure what you're comparing it to, but like for public safety and street departments, solid waste, those rates are typically higher than your normal anyway, so...
Is there a way, though, that we can determine what areas our internal rating went up? That's more my question is. Is it police? Is it fire? Is it public works? Is it parks? Where were the claims that increased the ratings?
Honorable Mayor, that's all. Certainly we can provide you with a report that indicates kind of where we are finding most of our claims. And, again, that experience rating is what drives the cost that we have to pay.
And I think we may have talked about this briefly on page 10 where we talk about the amount of debt the city has. I do want to commend the previous council in that from 2003 to 2004 to 2012, we decreased our rate expense. In 2003, we were paying on a low end of 2% to a high of 4.1. 2004, it was at 2.5 to 4.6. And then when the debt was completely refinanced in 2012, the rates went down to 0.55 and to 1.65, which has allowed that debt to really get paid off at a pretty good clip. And so probably in response to Mr. Kusick, it's probably one of those conversations that we do start having about, as we've said previously, where is the general public in their faith and in their government and their administration, and with the rates staying where they are, what is the next step, if there is one for us, regarding how we fund those street costs? Just for the for my colleagues, probably more than anyone, you'll see under our budget that we had some increases in the legislative budget, and primarily those were due to an increased number of meetings where we pay for the transcription service. That was our largest increase under ours. And then can you or the chief tell me how many vacancies do we have in the police department? Street force?
The last time I asked about that, I believe it was 8 or 9, but I'll ask the chief. Is that accurate? Okay. So, as you know, we get resignations, hiring, that type of thing, but on average, it's about 8 people that we are short.
Okay.
And I would also highlight that this isn't just an issue for University City.
Absolutely.
This is a national issue of people coming into that profession.
Yep. Last two I have are more comments, I think probably one is for my colleagues in that I think even this morning's activity in Dallas continues to heighten my concern about the public safety as we use this space. And I noticed that in Clayton they use a mobile metal detector. So it's not there all the time, but it's there when they're having public, particularly when you come into a space here where you have basically one way in and one way out.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking at some point in time we ought to at least give some consideration. I'm pretty sure we could probably even enter into an agreement with Clayton and use theirs because their council meetings aren't on the same nights as ours. But I think we probably at least got to review what the security precautions are for any time you're using a space like this. If you're using the Heeman Park Community Center, you've got probably 4 exits you can you can get out through. Mm-hmm. Here, I think, particularly with the number of folks we have who come who may be a little bit less mobile, I think is probably a little bit more of a concern. So I at least want to put that on the radar screen. And then finally, the question I would have is, I know we moved fleet under human resources for now. Is there a long-term conversation as to what happens with it? Or is that staying there for the foreseeable future?
That will depend upon what we find. My intention is to do a deep dive on fleet operations next fiscal year. And so anytime that I'm moving an operation into the city manager's office, it's normally for one of two reasons, or sometimes both. I want to better understand that operation. And secondly, I want to make sure that it is functioning at a high level. And if I get the sense that it's not at a high level, maybe there's communications problems, maybe there's process problems, but it just tells me that we need to take a close look at it. But long term, I don't know what my recommendation would be to you at this point until we have a chance to do the assessment.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I brought this up before, and at the time I didn't really know how to manifest this, and I still don't really know how. But the idea of our utility contractor management, I think within the past 2 weeks there has been an issue with that in the third ward, and I'm just, again, I don't know what it looks like, but what are the resources? I imagine this would reside somewhere in public works that we can bring to bear so we are really monitoring the work that is being done, and some way of holding our utility partners accountable if the work is not done to our or, frankly, any reasonable person's standards.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, one of the things that we're doing is taking a look at public works operations. And as a part of that operation, I can tell you what we've learned thus far is that the person that was responsible for overseeing the utilities has been out for 2 months. And so we're going to restructure it, and we'll bring that restructured organization forward to you. But yes, I agree. We have to make sure that we have the personnel in place that has the competency in that particular discipline in order to make sure that they can do a good job with overseeing the utilities. So I would suspect that you will be getting something within the next 60 days on the restructured public works.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. A subject that I've brought up before, and I just want to get clarity on what we're doing, and that is, I'll ask this question. Why are we not moving up the police station, the building of the police station, from 2022 to at least 2021? That's my first question.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, one of the projects that I know that I'll be asking you to amend is to move up the space need study, and I think we'll have a better sense after that, after knowing what we're going to do with all of our facilities. So what are we going to do with the Trinity Building, for example? And I think that was one of the questions that Councilmember Clay asked me to respond to, which I can until that study is completed. I believe once we know where all of the pieces are going to end up, then we can determine what is the appropriate amount of space, what's the design for the police station that we should be looking to do. What are we going to do with the annex, for example, if it has extra capacity? So all of those questions need to be answered. And so what I'm proposing to you is, let's go through next year, get answers to those questions, and then make a decision about the bigger issue, which is the police station. Where should it be located? What should the design look like? How large it should be?
Wasn't there an assessment done on the annex?
That's in process now.
It's still in process.
Yes. It's being proposed to be presented to you on just the annex. So that's not the other buildings, but just the annex in July. I think it's July the 8th. That's when you will get your first preview or review of the information that the consultants are putting together.
And then my other question is on this shot finder system.
If I could just one quick second, though, I just want to complete my thought on
that. No, go ahead. That's fine.
With regards to the police station, I think initially we were certainly, I'll use a pun here, under the gun in order to get that completed. And the reason for that was that we were leasing out both the land as well as the facility. And we had, even with the modular units, a contract that was expiring. I think that based upon the actions that you've taken as a council, there's additional capacity there now. We don't have such, we don't need to rush through it. We can take our time and you can make some decisions about what you think is appropriate for the long term.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. And the reason I'm pausing is because, I mean, again, when you say take our time, doesn't that cost us more in renting those units?
Is it costing us more if you compare the renting of the units to the police station? I would say, yeah, no, it's not costing us any more. And certainly because we purchased the property at this point, we are not incurring all of the costs that we had in the past.
But remember, too, we also, that lease was so front-loaded, it was almost, I hate to use the word, almost absurdly front-loaded, where that first year was a $2 million payment. And then since then, it's actually come down to a pretty small amount per month.
Okay. And just two more things. And again, back to the shot finder system. In this budget, you're saying funds that you're funding gunshot detection software. Why are we funding gunshot detection software with a system that we don't even know that we're testing right now?
Well, we have to budget it in case it works out. We could pull it out and then ask you to amend it. But typical course of action is if we're going to test it, I'm going to make I know that the chief has worked with other organizations to make sure that this, you know, system works well. It's a proposal. We're recommending it. Certainly, if the council believes that you would rather take it out and wait for the results, you could do that. But if the results come back positive, we'd be asking you to simply amend the budget to place it back in there. As you know, we have a major issue with shots being fired, specifically in the Third Ward. So we've got to take some action to mitigate that situation. We think that this software system will work, but certainly that's up to the mayor and council.
Okay. Last question is, and this is dealing with personnel, will we be adding a sports coordinator this year to this budget? Because there's a position that somebody is working but not being paid. I'm not talking about paying that person, but there's a position that's actually functioning that is not being paid. So,
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, that position had previously been, we hadn't moved forward with it because of Better Together. Now that that has changed, I know that the director of the department is intending to meet with the school district as well as with Linda to get a better assessment of the need for that staffing position. So I'll be able to tell you before Monday, I'm looking at Darren, whether he believes that that position is needed or not, based upon the discussions that he has with the school district as well as with the rec coordinator.
I'm done. Thank you. I wanted to jump back to public safety, and we're kind of well into the Prop P funding now. What is that revenue looking like, and how reliable has it been? Is it going up, staying the same?
We're recommending for next year that it maintain at the current levels. The way we budget here, we are able to keep our books open for about 2 months after the fiscal year ends, which is unique for a city to be able to do that. So based upon the projections or what was in the CAFR from last year, I'm pretty confident that we should meet the $1.7 million. I'm hesitant to increase that amount until I'm for sure that we're meeting that. So if we learn that, let's say that we're going to get $1.9 million instead of $1.7, I'll end up asking the mayor and council to amend the budget to reflect the additional revenue.
And earlier you noted, I think the fund balance was $5.6 million. Is that about the number that you recommend we want to stay at, or?
Well, that fund balance also includes the funding for the police station, the construction end of it. So, that's going to go away depending upon what you end up doing with the police station.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I would like to go back to the LSBD budget that was submitted. And in light of what you have said to us, that we're going to remove the EDRST monies from the budget, and then it would be added back in as a grant later on. So as I'm looking at this budget, and you said that they're going to need about $15,000 for a comprehensive plan or a strategic plan, which makes sense to me because you got to know where you're going. Okay. So I believe you said that would come out of their existing fund balance. Can you give us an idea of where that fund balance is?
Sure. Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, the fund balance is the savings for that particular fund. In the CAFR for 18, it estimated or identified that fund balance at $230,000. So we know that, it's around that amount, and that amount has not been funded, has not been spent, because that would have had to have been approved through you. So we know that funds are out there that would cover the $15,000 that I certainly know I'll be recommending to you.
So since Councilmember Cusick and I have been attending the board meetings, what we've heard is a very inexact treasurer's report. In other words, what we're given is a balance in the bank account. I'm assuming you're talking that bank account is essentially it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Cusick, but about 170 or 150 is what he said. So I'm not sure that all of the expenditures have been brought to council. And so I think it bears checking. Also, I'd like to know at what point we're going to approve this, and is there any way we can question it or object to parts of it?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, certainly what is being proposed to you is for the Loop Special Business District is a recommendation. That recommendation, as you know, has come from the LSBD, but that's why it's presented to you. It's up to the council to make the decision as far as what you're comfortable with approving.
Thank you.
But I know that the strategic plan is one of the requirements in the code, and so that's why I'm going to be recommending that you amend the budget at least to include that.
So is there any way for us to check to see exactly what is in that fund? Because I'm suspecting if the numbers are so different, so in one case you said 230, and in this case, let's say it's 100 and 170, so that's a $60,000 difference. I'm not sure that everything has been brought to council or has been accounted for. I can't say for sure, but...
Well, we should be able to work with Commerce to reconcile the account and advise you as to what expenditures have come from it. So, yeah. I'm hesitant because the way that the LSBD, even their account is structured, we may not have easy access through Commerce. But we'll take a look into it and see if we can get the information that's needed.
I'm just... thinking that the percentage difference from what we heard, and of course the treasurer could, it was inexact and he could be incorrect, and to my knowledge he's never produced a treasurer's report at a monthly meeting, so you know, so it's not clear that the numbers are correct, but at some point we the city should have a better feeling for it.
And each year our auditors actually go through, and that's where I'm getting that $230,000 from the auditor's report, most recent auditor's report that was performed. So we should be able to work with them to reconcile that that account for you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, Mr. Smotherson, yes.
Mayor Crowe, I don't have a question, but what I wanted to say is that I wanted to thank you for bringing that subject up about the public safety here and on this fifth floor. And I appreciate that because I've been saying that from the very beginning, but I wanted to throw another aspect to that about this room, and that is the last council meeting we had a packed house and we had several seniors, but we also had two people in wheelchairs. Can you imagine if something had happened and we couldn't use the elevator? So I just wanted to make a note of that.
Mayor, if you don't mind just bearing with me for a quick second, I will flip through the capital improvement program, which you have also already seen, but want to ensure that you don't have any questions regarding that. The priorities, again, have not changed. You know at this point what the capital improvement program is and how it is funded. Just looking at some of the highlights, this just gives you a breakdown of all of the capital that we are proposing to spend over the course of the next 5 years and the amount of allocation for each department. For fire, that's what I spoke about. The ambulance is going to cost about $250,000, proposing that for next fiscal year. Also included in 2022 is a replacement of a pumper truck at $500,000. For parks, recreation, and forestry, we're continuing the ash borer tree replacement at $75,000 each year. Centennial Commons painting for fiscal year 2020 at $114,000. Human park improvements at $250,000. Replacing some of the exercise equipment at $20,000. Short game practice, that's for the golf course, at $30,000. That may just be seed money. We'll have to take a very close look at that. And the Ruth Like Golf Course, this is for the driving range. That's proposed for fiscal year 2021. For the police department, the allocation of the $4.7 million in 22 police car purchases at $114,000 in next fiscal year, the license plate reader at $45,000, the mobile data terminals at $106,000, and the gunshot detection software at $75,000. For planning the alternative fuel vehicles, we're estimating those at $100,000. For Public Works, the solid waste grant match, that's a year, so $20,000 each year. I believe those are for the roller carts. See none? The $20,000 grant roller carts? Okay, so partially carts, partially for anti-contamination. on the recycling. Parking meter replacement, we're continuing with that at $50,000. Enhancing the street lighting, as I reported to you earlier, that's a partnership between Public Works and police. We're identifying the higher crime rate areas and proposing to add additional lighting in those areas to deter crime. ADA curb and ramp design construction at $50,000 each over the next 5 years. Curb and sidewalk replacement at $400,000 over the next 5 years. Street maintenance, $700,000 over the next five. City facilities, we're proposing to allocate $500,000 over the next 5 years. That number will very likely change because I believe our facilities, our infrastructure needs greater attention than what that $500,000 allows. This is the one that I'll be asking that you move up as a part of your amendments. That's the city, that's not the one. Citywide Energy Efficiency Master Plan. That's something that we're proposing for next fiscal year. The Ken Avenue Fence Improvement, $65,000 for next fiscal year. Cost accounting software so that we can do a better job with tracking our capital projects at $25,000. The next steps, again, that's simply the first year of the CIP is what we include in the annual operating budget as the capital budget. We've gone through the public hearing. We will hold a third ward budget meeting on Thursday, and so we'll start advertising for that, I believe, at the end of the day today. There was one item on the CIP. That's the fiscal analysis that I'll be bringing forward to you on Monday and asking you to move that project up. That's currently, I believe, it's at $30,000 in the CIP.
Any other questions?
Just real briefly, on the golf course lighting, I think there was a question on that was emailed too. And so my question on that, it's really a placeholder because it's in the next fiscal year. We wouldn't be voting on that in this budget. Would the review of the greens fees include looking at revenues that could be generated as it would balance out with that expenditure for lights?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember McMahon, that's correct. We'll look at all of our revenues in the golf course fund to see if they need to be enhanced. But the lighting that's proposed is for the following fiscal year, not next fiscal year, 2021.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, Mr. Rose, the parking meter replacement, is this for citywide or just concentrated areas? And what's the status of our parking study that was being done? And would we be going to a more modernized system with kiosks for parking areas?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, this is for citywide parking meters. This is where you see them on the loop and maybe the head is off, so we'll need to order them. We're also trying to modernize them because most of them only accept coins when, you know, many people, you know, pay with their telephone these days. So we're trying to make it more convenient for them. The parking study, I know it's in its final phases. I'd ask Mr. Applesson to provide us with just a very brief update. And if you would come to the mic so that everyone can hear you. Thank you.
Just pick one.
The parking studies in process. They completed the data collection in the beginning of the month of June, and so the early results should be available by the end of the month and early next month, and from there we were considering coming back once again for the consultant to be back when Washington University gets back into session. But even before doing that, we will see some results to discuss at a commission level, possibly at the Traffic Commission.
Thank you.
Clay?
Just following up on the question regarding parking. So would this, would the upgrades allow us to go to, as some cities have done, municipalities have done, the app structure where it's on your phone and you can just pay that way?
Alderman Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that's what we are proposing. We're trying to modernize as we go to make it more convenient for people to pay. In this day and time, you know, people may not even have a lot of coins that they carry around, and so we want to provide a great deal of options to them.
And the other thing is, what is the how much is a parking ticket in University City?
I don't have that information, but I bet Chief Hampton can tell you how much a parking ticket is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just an expired meter ticket is
15. Expired meter 15.
Is 15. Okay.
But that's the initial payment. If you choose not to pay that on time,
if you're late, right? Because I unfortunately recently got a parking ticket in Clayton, and it is $20. And so I don't know if there's a review of rates as a part of this process, but $20.
It's. Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, it's not a part of this process, but it's certainly something that we can take a look into to make sure that our rates continue to discourage people from parking violations. But part of our efforts is to increase the number of people that we have going around so that we're actually issuing more tickets. I think we have there's some improvement that we can make there. So I think all of our operations, we're taking a very close look at to see how can we improve them. At this point, I believe we have a good sense of what needs to occur. It's just prioritizing them and making sure, like, for example, that we have the equipment that the officers would need so that they can drive around throughout the city and issue tickets. And do we have the appropriate number of parking enforcement officers? So all those things we're taking a look at, but we're going to bring them to you one at a time.
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Our study session is adjourned.